Paul, thanking God for the church, the body he was working with there in Ephesus. Of course, this was years later, 10 years or so after he had been working there for 3 years. He knew that congregation well. Literally, Paul had spent 3 years working there and had a familiarity with what their issues were in that town, that city. And he thanked God for them. He didn't always say, "Thank God, I thank God for you." Some congregations he struggled with, and they struggled with him. But that kind of love, I hope you can or do say, "Thank you, Father, for my church family. I thank God for you. I truly do." The genuineness, the growth, the care, the attention to detail. Oh, we have all the mistakes. Every mistake you want to find, we got them, whatever you want. But we're covered by the blood of Christ. And in this family, I continually run into that genuine, I want to do this, but I want to grow. I want to understand this scripture. I want to, how is so-and-so doing? I just haven't, constantly, you all are showing passionate care for each other. I get it from the phone calls with people who are not able to be with us physically right now. You all at home, you have this hunger, this desire. It is such a joy to work together. And then you come gathering and you hear the prayers like we had this morning. I hope nobody ever feels like they need to rush through a prayer just because we're together. That nobody ever feels like they need to rush through an explanation of Scripture just because we're on some kind of a time schedule. What a glorious God we have. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because this is not I did it again. My father-in-law is at home reminding me. I still lost the word. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Maybe I can remember my words, and we'll get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way that you constantly attend to our lives. Your blessings are uncountable. Every one of them is glorious and full of your love. The painful ones and the pleasurable ones, they're all full of your love. And we trust you, Father, and trust that our lives respond to you as we should. Help us in this lesson now to learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not a spectator sport. See, I told you I'd remember that word. We're not spectators, neither here nor at home. We're going to continue some of our walk toward maturity, and we've been working with the maturing of our minds. What I kind of flesh out here is a sort of a foundational perspective. If you can think and understand correctly, then your thoughts on those, your plans on that, your responses from that will have a foundation to react correctly. Remember, the heart follows the treasure. The heart follows the treasure. So we don't necessarily start with the heart. The treasure comes from what we find as valuable, what we think, and what our mind is deciding. So we're going to continue our walk in maturity. And it's so interesting. I think I know what my lessons are going to be. And then as I get into them, I come into, run into Scripture, how Scripture tells us about this. Specifically, we're going to be in Ephesians right now, Ephesians 4. And it is just so amazing how God shows us where we need to grow and what kind of maturity we need to have. Ephesians 4, go to Ephesians 4, and we're going to start in verse 15. We are to grow up. Isn't that a great direction to go? We are to grow up in all aspects, that just makes it better, into him who is the head, even Christ, from the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Look at these words. What we're going to be reading right now is astounding. It is amazing. It is truly astounding what God brings us into. God brings us into this, and we say these things so much, I know I stop being astounded. It's like every Sunday, thank you, James, for bringing us to Christ and putting us before Christ on the cross. Every Sunday we say to ourselves, or sort of something literally to each other, we don't want to take the Lord's Supper casually. We want to sit down. And of course, that's the warning we get. You can't do it every week. You can't have the Lord's Supper every week, or you'll just go through the motions. No, we don't want to ever go through the motions. It's Christ on the cross. It's the Son of God dying for us. I'm not going through the motions. Help me, James, not to go through the motions. Would you please? Because I can. I have. You have, maybe. I don't know. That's my own weakness. But this is going through the motions every day. It's being astounded. How can we be astounded by the same information every day? We'll get to that. But this growing up in all aspects, this is the whole body that we participate in holding it together. Now, we're not the strength of holding it together, but we're the actions of holding it together. That each, that's you, individual, that's you and me, part, that's us, each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is body maturity. Look back a few verses. This is body maturity. This isn't exactly individual maturity, but it's based on individual maturity. But this is body maturity, and it's mental because it's informational. It's informational. It gives us information. Let's go back to verse, what was that? What is that? 12, chapter 4, verse 12. Jason read for us earlier in Ephesians and described in chapter 1 the magnificence of what happens to us when we're in Christ. And chapter 4 is all about unity. It's all about the unity of the body. And we're told that we are being equipped. And verse 12 starts there. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The reason we're equipped is to strengthen each other, is to build up this group of people. We'll get to the definition in a moment. Until we all attain unity, unity of the faith, unity of the knowledge of God, unity of the knowledge of the Son of Man, unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, understanding who Jesus is and what it means that he's the Son of Man, who God is and what it means that he sent his Son, who Jesus is as the Son of God and what that does for us to a mature man. And I've been parceling this out. For years, I have taken that mature man being the individuals of us, being mature individuals. But I don't know that that's what it's saying. I think it's calling us, the body, a mature adult body. That we are the mature man, or we are trying to be the body in its maturity. To the measure, because listen to this, this mature man is a measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Rick. This is a measure, thank you. This is a measure of the stature of who we are. It is astounding what we get to participate in. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Because what Ephesians 1 gives us is the introduction. The letter of Ephesians reaches deeper and higher in its short six chapters than maybe any other book in the Bible. It is amazing all the things that are described in the letter to the Ephesian church. That in us, with us in Christ, we learn what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. We get to understand and participate in the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. And what Paul had just said is that I pray that you can understand that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what the hope of his calling is. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? We don't understand what those riches are, but he wants us to. It is astounding what we're getting to do, and we haven't even got to the amazing, amazing part. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. This is Jesus brought back to heaven, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is named. If there's a name of anything, Jesus is far above everything. His name is greater than all other names. His identity is greater than all other identities. Not only in this age, not only now, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things. This is Jesus sitting next to God, having all of that preeminence we just described, and he did it for the church. As head over all things to the church. This participation of magnificence, this scope of his superiority over all creation, over all things, is to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want to highlight one word in these verses. I want you to think about what that word is. Just one. I'm going to highlight one amazing word, one astounding word in these verses that we just read in chapter 1. You don't have to guess, but any guesses? Is. It doesn't say the church is like a body to Christ. It doesn't say the church should work as if it's a body. It says the church is his body. So when you go back to chapter 4 and see the stature of a mature man, the stature of the fullness toward Christ, it presents the magnificence of what Christ intends in his church and what kind of maturity we get to reach toward. This is the verse that I was preparing a lesson to talk about, 1 Corinthians 12, this beautiful description of the body of Christ. That's really a lot of fun to read. But in getting there and in working on this pathway of maturity, Ephesians 4 said, hey, pay attention to the scriptures. Don't come to your own conclusions, Robert. The scripture says it's the working of the body in maturity. That's the maturing, one of the aspects of maturing that we need to work with. So turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I know I'm putting scripture on the wall behind me, Don't let that stop you from taking notes. Don't let that stop you from opening up your own Bible. Get out a pen, get out a marker, get out something, and underline words, make annotations off to the side, highlight things. Whatever you do when you study your Bible, you can do now. So let's have some fun with this. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all of the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, there's several things here, but we'll just keep it basic or obvious today. I said we're going to take our time with time, but I don't really want to take time with time. We do have responsibilities. The body is one. Back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, this beautiful chapter talking about the unity of the body. And 1 Corinthians starts with, let there be no divisions among you. He asks in chapter 1, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? So he says the body to this divided church, to this congregation in Corinth, which had an issue of division, he said the body is one. There are many members, but one body made from many parts. And though there are many parts, there's only one body. And he makes it very specific about this. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. He keeps repeating it. There's only one body. Don't let there be any division. When we were baptized, you remember it, Rick? Rick Paco, sitting in the back, his hands raised, was baptized last Saturday in Anchorage. James Harris, the elder of the Anchorage congregation, baptized him. Called us up last Saturday and said, hey, I'm sending you a brand new brother. He lives out in the valley. So Rick he came in Wednesday night, and he's with us this morning. Last night, Evan Rockwell, can you put your arm up? Sitting next to Mike, last evening here, was baptized into Christ. The moment you two brothers were baptized, he added you to his body. We are baptized into Christ, but then baptized into his body. We are part of one another. Though we barely know each other, we are part of each other. Just like this hand and this knee are part of each other. They're all connected, and hopefully they're all going in the same direction, or I've got a problem with my own body. And notice how specific this is in a difficult culture. Jews, Greeks, they got problems with each other? Oh, yeah, they got serious problems with each other. But they're one in Christ. Those enslaved, those free, you think they mingle very easily? Not in the world, but they do in Christ. It doesn't matter. All are brought into the body who are baptized into Christ. You know, it's the basis for our very country. That all men are created equal. These are the verses where that kind of amazing equality of all humankind come from. But you don't see it in any cultures. You don't even see it in our culture because we mess it up all the time. But you don't see it in human cultures. There's the royalty, and then there's the business class, and then there's the labor class, and then there's the poor class. And all sorts of places. And you don't want to mingle with those. You didn't dare marry somebody who's down there, or you couldn't possibly marry somebody who's up there. All over the world, we divide and divide and divide. They don't talk like me. They don't look like me. They're not educated like me. They don't make money like, they don't spend, they, whatever it is, we're so good at dividing. And God says, no, you weren't built for that. And in my son, you will not be divided. I am making you a body. You have to work together. This hand can't get anywhere much if this knee's not working well, especially if it's in pain. If I'm limping around, guess what? I'm going to sit down and the hand's not going to get over to the project it needs to do. Our hands, our knee, our legs, our body needs every part. Let one part of it break and see how much you need it. My poor father-in-law had one nerve in one part of his body being rubbed by one piece of bone, and it nearly shut him down. It was more than he could tolerate. One tiny location of pain, and he could barely function. That's the workings and the failure of working of a body. We are brought together, and this scripture says at our baptism, whatever your background is, you're one. And so we're embarrassed by as we look at churches before us, at all the division, all the racial divisions and the social divisions. People still say to me sometimes, well, folks listen to him because his donation check, you know, he really gives to the church. So he has a bigger voice in that congregation than I do. People still are suspicious of that. I can think of words, actually, if I work on it. We need to allow none of that. None of that. For the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, notice these words, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If an ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Notice this perspective. This is self-thinking. So we're going to have a massive counseling session here. What do you think of yourself? Don't tell me. We don't have time for that. Whatever you think of yourself, what do you imagine yourself? When you look in the mirror, and I'm not talking about vanity, I'm talking about deep considerations of what James was talking about, your strength or your failures. What do you think of yourself? How many times have we either thought or heard of people thinking, you know, they won't even notice if I don't go. They won't even notice if I don't show up at the workday. I can't do anything anyway. Or we look at ourselves and say, well, I got other things to do. I'm a bit too busy. Self-thinking. You were brought in to the body, not something like the body of Christ, not something that should act like the body of Christ, but this is. I told you, it's astounding. Don't ask me how. I don't know how. It is. He tells us repeatedly, it is. We are the body of Christ. What if one of your fingers went and stayed on the other side of the room for the day? What if your left knee or your left hip decided it didn't want to do anything? And some of you guys have a left hip that's decided that it doesn't want to do anything. You got to get it replaced sometimes. Your body suffers if you have part of it that isn't working or doesn't show up or is breaking down. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm talking about your value. You are so important. If the whole body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, so the first is self-thinking. Now we're talking about how we consider the other. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that members, I'm reading the wrong one. If the whole body were an eye, I was jumping one verse, slide ahead, If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Now, God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? So this is back to the need for the diversity. We have to be diverse. God knows how to build a church, and he knows what's needed in his church, and he puts each member where he needs them to be. But now there are many members, but one body. This is what I was reading mistakenly a second ago. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem weaker, are necessary. necessary. Quieter members? And this is so important for us because we're divided by this virus right now. Physically divided. I hope not divided in faith or in goal or essence. But just because somebody's quieter, somebody sits on the second or third row in the planning meetings, just because somebody doesn't dive in, or this person has a whole stack of talents, we'll let them do it. Just because some seem to be weaker, it not only says they're important, it says they're indispensable. It won't work. The body won't work. They are necessary, and that and word necessary is not as strong, I don't think, as in English as what the word is in Greek. Indispensable is what the ESV says. Indispensable. You have to have one another. You cannot look at the other person, not in your thought, not anywhere in you, and say, well, I don't know if we need them around or not. God puts them in his body. Our family sheet, our address sheet, our membership directory is not a membership directory. God defines his church, not a piece of paper we type up. Now, I hope this is accurate. We try to make it accurate, and we try to be real in our faith, and we try to be connecting. But anything man does has got flaws in it. God puts us in his church. I am so excited that the virus seems to be dissipating and less effective and less destructive, and we're able to get more and more together again. And I'd love to call out your names, but we're not going to be able to do that today. It is much truer. It is truer that members of the body which seem weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, these we bestow more abundant honor. And the less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving abundant honor to the members which lacked. God attends to that. He lifts up hearts. This is a great place to apply, humble yourselves to God, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he might exalt you. This is exactly that place that we say, Lord, I just want to be in your body. Use me as you need to. Put me where you need to. I'm yours, Father. And we devote ourselves physically, attitudinally, energy-wise, into his body. And we let him honor us. We let him place us. We let him use us. We're just servants. Show me. People need feet washed. I'll meet them at the door with a bucket. Whatever you need me to do, Father, I will do, because I want to be nowhere but in Christ. And in Christ, you are in his body, the church. So that all of these things are, so that what? Verse 25, so that what? So that be no divisions among you. It's astounding what we're doing. We are the body of Christ. And it's got a beautiful parallel to it. Lauren slowed us down last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess he was speaking, 2 weeks ago, and talked about Jesus not only healing the leper, but Jesus went to a man who hadn't been lovingly touched in years, and Jesus touched the man. Jesus touched the leper. Didn't have to touch him, but he did. We are the hands of Christ. So if somebody needs a hug, a touch, a listen to, if somebody needs to be visited, we are the feet of Christ. We are the ones who go, send me, Father. Where do you need me to be? I want to serve your body. End of the reading. Now, you are Christ's body. You are Christ's body. And individually, God understands your individuals. He doesn't mix us up into a pot. He understands we're individuals with individual talents and individual perspectives and individual experiences, individual skills, individual needs, individual levels of growth. He completely gets all of that. But we are members of his body. You are Christ's body. And now God has placed the members. To jump back to verse 18, I didn't slow down very much on verse 18. God has placed the members of the body. God has placed, you look at Acts chapter 2, it says a couple of different times when that the Lord added to the church. When God adds to his church, he places the members. I love these highlights in Scripture. I love these details in the Word. Each one of them, that's you, whether you're sitting here physically or at home, that's you. He placed each one of us in the body of his Son as he wanted. I told you, it's astounding. At every level, at multiple levels, and we had to hurry through some of this. The lessons are all there. You're wise enough. You're intelligent enough. You're deep enough in the Word to understand it. It is just an amazing thing we have, and it is us to act toward the maturity of each one of us and the maturity of his body. It's amazing. It's just amazing. What we get to participate in. We get to personally participate in that level of magnificence. Astounding. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we have a couple of brothers who have given you a beautiful example this week of making a decision of faith, making a decision of obedience, desiring to be baptized into Christ and being added to his body. If you have that need or any other need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that Stephen selected.